Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. A bill making its way through the South Dakota State Legislature seeks to prohibit cities and municipalities from banning plastic straws and bags and other single-use containers. It's one of those topics that people become passionate about, even if they aren't exactly sure why. So let's look at the facts about plastic. Stephanie Arney is co-founder of the Creative Animal Foundation. She's an explorer, a conservationist, and a wildlife educator, and she joins us on the phone now from Honolulu, Hawaii, to talk about Senate Bill 54. Stephanie Arney, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so plastic, I got to give you the whole background of what's been happening on In the Moment with plastic straws and bags.
Oh,
it's one of those things, every time you bring it up with somebody, they just have this very strong reaction. And I was at a hotel out in Rapid City for the show last week, I think, and I was at the restaurant and people were at the bar and they were getting extra straws, put their foot down and say, like, this is something that I'm going to do. They were irritated, but they was talking about this notion of straws and, people sort of, taking them away from them. And everyone I talked to is pretty upset about it on one end or the other, but they don't always know what's pushing their buttons on the reason why. So before we go, I wanted to give you that background as we're like kind of what's happening here in South Dakota with the conversation. But let's start with the bill itself, because this is also something you've been seeking out input on social media and saying, hey, let's have a conversation about this. And you've been getting some pretty interesting responses. So the bill itself, what do you know about what some of the supporters are arguing, why we need this ban on bans?
Okay, so I spent a lot of time researching this, but just like everybody else, sometimes I'm doing the best I can to, really get to credible people and to hear both sides of the story.
Yeah.
There's no way that we can ever come to a compromise unless we listen to each other, we put down our egos, and we see ourselves as individuals and our individual communities and what is important to us. And so I hope you guys can hear me out and hear my perspective and take it or leave it.
Okay. We create that space on In the Moment just really intentionally. We're in that safe space together. Go ahead.
Okay. So from what I'm aware of, the state of South Dakota has already prohibited a ban on things like garbage bags. They want to expand it to prohibit anyone in the state, or specifically stores and restaurants, from banning plastic straws and auxiliary containers, which include bags, cans, cups, bottles, packages, and other containers. I'm not seeing their definition of plastic. Once they really get into the nitty-gritty, they're going to have to describe the chemicals, because we all know that there's 2, 5, 7, there's many different types of plastic ingredients. So I think of it like, we all know that there is flour in many different types of cakes and pastries, but it's the same with plastic. And so some of them are more recyclable than the others. Some of them take more energy. Some have more chemicals. Some are thicker. Some are medical grade. So I'll be intrigued to hear more about that. But I think they're pretty much including any just convenience, single-use plastics. And for the most part, a lot of those are not recycled and are easily recyclable. So what I'm hearing is that supporters of this bill are wanting this to happen. They feel passionately about it because they're afraid that if people on the other side that want to ban plastic are getting all up in arms and are super passionate because they saw one sea turtle with a straw up its nose, that they're going to ban plastic without considering South Dakota business owners, especially those in rural areas or moms and pops groups, and considering how inexpensive these items are for their establishments, and then if they become too expensive, that it will actually hurt not just that business, but South Dakota's economy, and possibly South Dakota wouldn't be able to contribute more to the national economy. I'm also hearing that it creates challenges for individuals that are part of the disabled community who rely on specifically plastic straws for food. And I'm under the impression from living in states like Hawaii and California in my travels for working in conservation, that even when we do ban single-use plastics, sometimes businesses will find loopholes for alternative plastics. So if we ban plastic 2s, then we're going to switch our bags to thicker plastics, like plastic 7, for an example, and say that it's a reusable bag, even though people still treat it as though it's a throwaway bag. Right. So we do need to consider those things. And it seems as though those individuals that have introduced this idea and support it are really passionate, the most passionate about the business owners. Of course, I could be wrong, but that's my understanding.
I think that's what we're hearing here as well, that they want a consistency. And even for large businesses, they're saying, you know, you don't want a patchwork of legislation and regulations across state lines and in different cities and in the state. So if you have a, you know, a Target store in Sioux Falls and you have one in Rapid City, and Sioux Falls has said you can't use single-use plastic bags, and that creates an entire challenge for a large corporation. And, you know, the argument then is people won't want to bring their businesses to different cities in South Dakota because we've made it more difficult. Let's talk about plastic itself, though, because you say plastic, it's hard to deny, because one of the reasons this issue came up was because after the flooding in the spring, the Big Sioux River here in Sioux Falls was like a plastic bag forest. You could look out and just see, I don't know, hundreds, I guess. I'm throwing that number out kind of casually, but it sure seemed like hundreds of plastic bags just in the trees everywhere. Tell me about why plastics can be a problem. What's on the other side of this story?
Okay, so yeah, that's the biggest issue. Opponents on the other side are trying to decrease the amount of trash piling up in our landfills and at our recycling centers to try to nip it in the bud so that there isn't littering or trash flying off of garbage trucks into our streams. This is something I want to make very clear. This isn't just to protect wildlife from, entanglement and choking and poison. It's also to consider human health. And that's really where I'm coming from. When I speak on this topic, and I want to dig in that in just a second, but I also want to recognize the people that also aren't taking a big stand on their belief with plastic, but instead are saying this should be taken up by cities instead of the state. So let's get into the plastic thing. 5 trillion pieces of plastic litter our oceans right now. We have 5 gyres, which are just really big. Think of hurricanes in the ocean. Currents come together and push plastic together from all continents. And I've been in them. I've seen them. They're pretty horrific, actually. And so this plastic is coming from all over the world. I've found pieces on beaches, and while I'm filming sharks in the ocean or whales or whatever I'm working with, I've had to push plastic from other countries and things from even like 1980s. I've seen Barbie dolls floating in there. I'm like, I think that's my Barbie from 1985.
She's back. Yeah.
Yeah, she's back. They have, the newest data is 22 million pounds of plastic enters the Michigan lakes every single year. I know microplastics has been a big issue in our Michigan lakes because plastic never really disintegrates. I've heard a couple senators that are for this bill that have said that plastic is better for our gardens and our soil, and that is unfortunately not true. And it is very harmful. It is full of chemicals that leaches into our soil, into our seeds, into our food that we eat, into the animals that we eat. And Lake Michigan is finding many pieces of microplastics inside of their fish and their birds as well. And again, this goes into the trout and walleye, into mallards, into deer, and now we are finding it in our bodies. And there's still a lot of research being done on that, but they are finding microplastics in our body and levels of chemicals that are in the plastics in our body because we are also consuming this now because it's so prevalent in our ecosystem.
Sure.
And then, of course, the one that I believe, Lori, that is really getting everybody super passionate when you say, what is really pushing people's buttons? It's amazing. It's not always the facts that I just told you. Mm-hmm. It's more so that they've seen videos of animals that I've worked with and rescued in the past that have been choking on animals or on plastic, excuse me, or are entangled in it. And it's hard, especially those cute, cuddly animals. You know, people see those animals and their faces, that, and it really strikes a chord with them. They picture their dog choking on plastic, and it really just hits home, and they can't see it anymore. It hurts too much. And I think that's what just sends them over the line. And when you see those things, it sometimes becomes harder to listen to the other side. And if you're somebody who's passionate about the economy of South Dakota and our businesses being sustainable and bringing in big companies like Target, you're very passionate about that. And it's hard to consider, you know, a couple animals. It's 100 million animals that are killed each year from plastics. And I think it's harder to picture that. So I think that's really what's pushing buttons for a lot of people.
Yeah. I've had a hard time understanding, as we walked into this debate, why it would cost businesses money. And the idea that you have different, you know, regulations in different cities makes some kind of sense to me. But I don't think there's any requirement that if your store doesn't provide plastic bags, that they have to provide a different kind of bag. And in some ways that goes back to, if we're all bringing our own reusable bags everywhere we go, doesn't everyone save money? I know our local Barnes & Noble, every time I go frequently to Barnes & Noble, and they've just started asking, do you need a bag today? And I'd say 9 out of 10 of the people, because they're books, that's, you know, usually is a fairly easy thing to carry out. You know, it's not necessarily grapes at a grocery store. But they've got to have saved a ton of money from a corporate standpoint, and not handing out those bags and giving people a simple choice. So,
absolutely.
More and more people are starting to say, carry your own bag, bring your stuff with you. Let's talk about some solutions and how people are talking about solving the problem of plastics.
Absolutely, because it is very expensive. It's not just expensive for individual businesses that have to buy all these things, and they have, you know, their employees handing them out like candy on Halloween. Mm-hmm. That's expensive. It's very expensive. And not just that, it's expensive to clean up. It's, you know, an estimated $6 to $19 billion a year to clean up all of this plastic. And that's coming from tourism and fisheries and aquaculture, and the actual physical act of cleaning up. It's expensive. That's not including how expensive it is for individuals and governments, because of what it's going to do with human health and is doing with human health and our marine ecosystems. So yeah, we do need to come up with solutions. I know change is really hard and it's scary. And I know that obviously it's going to impact people in different ways. But I think staying positive and optimistic and looking at how creative and smart we are, that we can come up with solutions and compromises for this. And if we can't right now, let's work with each other and at least work towards that, right? So I think, for me, I think it's important that we first and foremost close the source of the problem and clean up what's actually there. That is humongous. That is a very, very big issue. I mean, as of right now, 80% of our global emissions of plastic are coming from 1,000 rivers, and 20% of that plastic is distributed over 30,000 rivers. And that does include the Missouri and the Mississippi. And so if we can get into those places and close it, and clean it up, and there are many options out there. I think the ocean cleanup, they're creating some incredible inventions that are very quickly cleaning up the issue. From there, it's really important that we prioritize and develop and implement measures and strategies, and finding alternatives as well that are cost effective for businesses. There are alternatives out there, and if there was a ban, businesses have time. Just like they were, or if they're switching their chicken company or they're switching their buns or their bread, they have time to find other solutions. There are reusable options. They're sterile. They're silicone and hemp and bamboo and glass and metal and paper and straw and plant-based and compostable. And obviously not all of them are perfect for everybody, but some people can bring their own. And I feel really pretty strongly that if you just ask for it, like you said, cutting back, I mean, at minimum, just cutting back and only saying, do you need this? And giving the customer the opportunity These are all amazing opportunities that can be considered. And if those aren't good enough, then let's keep innovating. Let's keep working to trying to find out new things that we can do that are cost effective and sterile or convenient for all South Dakotans, not just business owners, not just those in our disabled community and elderly, but everybody. And that is going to take a lot of working and listening to each other and considering people and profit and the planet, the three P's. That's important to consider.
People, planet, and profit. This is Senate Bill 54. If you've been listening and want to follow that bill as it makes its way through State House and contact your lawmakers for your input. Stephanie Arney is with the Creative Animal Foundation, and she's a conservationist. And Stephanie, thank you so much for being here, because this is all part of the education process, and we appreciate your insight.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's my opinion today, but remember, we have time to educate ourselves, learn from each other, and we're free to change our opinions and our votes as we learn more.